John chapter 15. I'm actually preaching what I started to preach about 2 weeks ago, and then I got onto some things about the Bible, and I thought, well, we need to heed that and listen to that, and so that's what I got on to. Appreciate yesterday with, again, all those that gave, but I imagine as well that you have a lighter pocketbook today. Stories told of a lady that rode her bus home and got off, and boy, she was no sooner off than about halfway down the street when she realized, I left my purse underneath the seat. So she got back to the house and she called to the bus station, and sure enough, the bus driver went through the bus, found the purse, and taken it in so they could have it ready for her in the morning. Boy, sure enough, first thing in the morning, taxi, she's there at the bus station, and she goes there, and he hands it to her, and there's two typewritten pages, and this box that has all the contents that was in her purse, and he says, we're required to inventory lost wallets and purses and everything that's in it, and I believe that if you'll look through all that, you'll find that everything's there. Well, she thanked him and started to put things back in her pocketbook. And he says, ma'am, all these other are gathered here with me. They want to see how you get all that back in your purse, because we all tried. Well, some of you can understand that. And those are things that happen in life, aren't they? Well, let's go ahead and get on to this before I get in trouble any further. All right, John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. The world, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now understand, this is Jesus talking. But if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now let's go down to chapter 16 and verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And then finally, verse 33 in chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now shall we pray? Father, we are overcomers in Jesus Christ, and we know that. We thank you for that. And Lord, we live so much for this world, and yet our life here is but a vapor that appears for a little while and then passeth away. And so, Father, I pray that as we're gathered here together, not only this group in this auditorium, but those that are listening by WTYG, or those that are watching by internet, I pray that if there's one without Christ, this would be the day they come to Him. If there's one that's wandered from home, that is from your house, from your will, may today be a time to come back home. And we'd ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're going to go straight to our text. I read that text 2 weeks ago and then really didn't get to it to preach. So our first verse there, as we go to our text, we look there at verse 18. And it says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, you cannot stand as a Christian. You cannot stand as the Lord Jesus Christ would want you to stand and not be hated by the world. That is the world's system. and people who live by that world system. Yea, even religious people who live by that system. For when you stand for the faith, you'll find out that you'll have to withstand. See, it's one thing to take a stand, but when you take a stand, attacks are going to come. And so after you stand, then you seek to withstand. Having done all to stand, withstand, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 tells us. And so we must learn to withstand the attacks of the devil. And many times we said it comes from Christians. And when we stand for right, it will rebuke their lives and often their philosophies, although they are religious. That's why, don't quit. It will be worth it all. Just heed His will, heed His word, don't quit. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it tells us that this whole world lieth in wickedness. Think of that. That's what the Bible says, and the Bible's right. The whole world lieth in wickedness. In John chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus, His earthly brothers were there, and this before their salvation. They're saying, hey, why don't you go up to Jerusalem and do these things up there? We're going to the feast. Why don't you go with us? He says, you go on. Y'all just go on. I'll just be here for right now. But He says to them, you know, He says, you they cannot hate, but Me they hate, because I testify of their deeds, plural, that they are evil. Now, I said plural because that means that He was naming sin. When Jesus preached, He named sin. Now, I know that goes against marketing in religious circles today, but that's the way Jesus preached. And so people either like it or they don't like it, but that's the way Jesus preached. I like the way one man that got converted to Christ said, I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I found out that a bottle of port could do that. He says, if you want religion to make you feel really comfortable, he says, then I do not recommend biblical Christianity, because you won't be comfortable. Well, that man was just so right. He was so right on that. You know, when you serve Jesus Christ, you must serve Him with your heart. That is, with your life. Because when you serve Him according to His word and will, not in a manner that is pleasing to the world, not in a manner that is just, I do it if it's convenient, not in a manner that, well, if I have time, but don't expect me to commit time to it. And if that's your attitude about serving the Lord, you're going to fail. It just won't end up good. You see, serving the Lord, whether you're in full-time Christian ministry, whether you're working as a salesman, whether you're working in the plant somewhere, no matter what it is, you are, as a Christian, a light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever you are, you're to be a light. And you are to shine that light for Him, wherever you are. And you're either a full-time Christian, or you're just a believer that has some religion. But you don't have the life of Christ. Now understand, He called to repentance. He quoted scriptures in John chapter 6. There are some that want to kill Him. Many of His disciples walk no more with Him. Now, you've heard me say it before, but a lot of the modern church building techniques today, Jesus went against it 100%. He had 5,000 to begin with. Then the next crowd is 4,000. Finally, the 120 take off. He's down to 12, and then those 12 flee when it's crunch time. He's left alone. That happened in 3.5 years. That was really a great ministry, wasn't it? 3.5 years in the world's eyes, it went down. But why is it, not using the world's marketing schemes that we use today, that they're still talking about Jesus Christ 2,000 years later? I was meeting with our administrative staff. We did that a couple of times, 2 or 3 times a week. And it's in the book of Acts, chapter 15. It was pointing out to them, there in the church there at Antioch, some people tried to bring in some false doctrine, the Judaizers. And it got to be so hard that they all went to Jerusalem and to get a council pastor to say, hey, this is a new church. This is, we're just in the beginnings of the New Testament church. What do we do here on this? And what is the decision? And Peter spoke up, Paul spoke up, and James spoke up, and they made a decision based on the Word of God, not based on their feelings. And they went back with a letter and proclaimed that decision. But I like, as soon as that is over, what it says. Then Paul and Barnabas continued to preach and teach the word in Antioch until they went out from there as missionaries again on another field. In other words, they did not quit. You keep on keeping on. We're not depending upon the latest marketing schemes and philosophies and programs. We are called to follow the Word of God. That's the bottom line. The Word of God. So verse 19 says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I find that John's chapters 14 through 17 are four of the most interesting chapters, really, even back 13 and you go on through. But Jesus, when he leaves the upper room, chapters 14, 15, and 16, he's walking to Gethsemane with his disciples. And you know what he's doing? He's actually sharing his heart with these men. I mean, he's just sharing the heart and he's trying to prepare them for his going away. Then in chapter 17, he begins the high priestly prayer for us. If I could summarize that prayer, if I had to summarize it in one sentence, I'd say he prayed that we would not quit. He wanted us to keep on keeping on. And so, as you read those verses and you go through them, you find out that Jesus wasn't looking just the moment. He was looking at eternity. And that's a lesson for us in our Christian life. We too often look at the moment and we lose sight of eternity. And when you do, you're on the downward spiral. Pray, he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them, in verses 15 through 17 of John 17. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of this world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Do you know that's important to God? Keep us from the evil of this world. That's very important to him. And so he goes on to say, they are not of this world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So he prays for them to be set apart for sacred use. That's the idea of the word sanctify. Please understand that compromise with the world system will always take us from the high and holy one on a downward spiral of opposition to the holy. Again, compromise with the world system will always take us from the high and holy one into a downward spiral of opposition to the holy. And just remember, please remember this, if you stand in holiness as commanded, excuse me, as you're commanded in the Word of God, if you stand for a holiness, please also understand, as you follow the heart of Jesus Christ, you follow His Word, the world will hate you. They will speak all manner of evil against you falsely for His name's sake. Jesus said they would, and He does not lie. It will include all manner of evil against you, because that's the way the world is. There'll be much personal attack. They won't use the Word, but rather, they will use personal attack. Now, since we know that, that tells us that we're in a war as Christians. I hope also you're thinking about this. We're living in the last days. A lot of us talk about being prepared for death. We better be prepared for the rapture, because that could be at any moment. Death can be as well. But we're in those last days, and now is the ending of the race, and we need to put it into high gear and give it all we have. The world will hate you. We know that. There's a war. But the end is in eternity. When eternity begins for us, there's no more that we can add or take away. Now, my dad's death is with most of you, as it is with us. People are talking about Billy Graham dying this week. But you know what? Same week, a missionary that we supported for many years, Paul Marsh, went to be with the Lord. Now, some will get the Billy Graham send-off from Earth's point. Some will get what my dad had here. We had a good crowd here. I don't know if there'll be many at Paul Marsh's funeral or not. There are people that, if we remember, just last few years ago, were beheaded for the cause of Christ in the Middle East, and they didn't really have people at their funeral. They didn't have a funeral. It's not the send-off that's important, it's the arrival. See, that's what is important. It is the arrival. It is good that people loved and so forth, but it's the arrival. It's all about the arrival. If you really believe God, then you'll know that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. It won't even come close in comparison in its greatness. It'll seem minute. That is why, when we look to heaven, the rewards are forever. 10 million years from now, the reward of heaven will still be the reward of heaven. So you suffer here for this short span of time. Oh, heaven will be worth it all. So again, the temporal sufferings down here, no. It doesn't compare. So when you compromise with worldliness, it shows something about your own personal belief. When you compromise with the world and you don't walk with God, it shows that you don't really have a living belief in the eternal promises. Now, you may have a living belief in salvation, that He died for you and was buried and rose from the dead. Yes, but you don't have a living belief about eternity. You see, the heart for Jesus Christ, one that has a heart for Christ, is a heart that will be separated from the world, living holy, but it will also be a heart that's seeking to take the gospel to as many as they can. That's the heart of Christ, because He came not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But my friend, the world will be condemned. The first time he came as a Savior. The second time he comes, is coming as a conquering King of kings and a Lord of lords. So in verse 20 he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Hey, that is why you need to be in the Word daily. Be in the Word daily. And meditate therein. It equips you to get to know the mind and the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20 shows, Jesus didn't really come to be popular. He didn't come to be liked. He came to save. I've told preachers, a lot of preachers have asked me this, and when they've asked me, they'll say something, well, why aren't we growing? I'm wondering, you're talking about numerical growth. And yeah, I'm witnessing, but souls aren't getting saved. I'm witnessing, I'm doing this. And same thing. Sometimes God makes us to be a captain of tens and twenties, but sometimes God makes us captains of hundreds, of thousands. But I need to work just as hard at being a captain of tens as I would be as being a captain of thousands. Okay. God expects it with my whole heart. That is a love issue. It's not an ability issue. We don't know better than He does. We don't have to turn to the world to do the will of God. But understand, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But His heart was to save souls, the souls of men, calling them to repentance and faith through His shed blood and His resurrection. So don't quit on the job that He's given us to do. It's fulfilling His heart desire. In Psalms chapter 118, verses 8 through 10, it just makes me think of our country. Boy, we got abortion. I found it interesting this week, the past week or two, where we had the tragedy of the 17 people being killed in the school. That is a tragedy. That's sad. And there are those who say, see, we've got to do with guns. There's another group saying, no, we need to have guns to protect our kids. And the ones that say, well, no, you don't need those guns, they're saying you don't love children. And yet many of those that are saying that don't love children either, because they're for killing them by abortion. Now, if you kill a child by abortion or you kill them with a gun, they're both dead. They're both humans and they're both dead. So, the Bible says it right, so let's go with the Word of God. And so you have that going on. Then, but it's not just abortion. My goodness. They're in various stages of undress, and many times they're calling themselves Christian. And sometimes you can turn on your television, and they're singing their songs, they're dancing like the world, they're shaking like the world, they're being sexually provocative in the way they're singing, and yet they're dressed that way, and they say it's for the Lord. Why don't you just shoot cocaine up your arm and just say, it's for the Lord? Well, preacher, I wouldn't do that. Well, if they're going to legalize marijuana, they'll be doing that before too long. You also got beer in Bible churches. What did you think that would happen, many of you on this side, in your lifetime? You didn't think you'd see that. Hey, it's time to wake up. This country is on the fast track to hell. And listen to Psalms 118, verses 8 through 10. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. See, we have a call from God. Verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to have confidence in princes. Now look, I like it when the people I'm for get elected. But I don't have confidence in anybody that gets elected. My confidence has to be in the Lord. I cannot expect elected officials to do the work that God has called me to do. And neither can you as a Christian. All nations compass me about, he says in verse 10, but the name of the Lord will destroy, in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. In other words, My job is to go out as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and to live a holy, acceptable unto God life, and understand that that will take some gossip, that'll take some attacks, that'll take all kinds of things, but that is what I'm called to do, and that's what, if you're saved, you're called to do. And you're concerned about all these things in America, but you're not you're concerned about elections and votes. And listen, those things we shouldn't be concerned about, but you better get more concerned about your responsibility as a Christian. Oh, the inner cities need work. Oh, yes, they do. They need somebody to go in there with the gospel. The inner cities need work of somebody building buildings. Yes, but first, let's go in there and build some churches for them to go to. America needs to be saved or we're going to lose it. So in verse 21, he says, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. You see, they don't know him experientially. These are religious people that he's talking about. It was the religious people that were attacking them. They do not walk with God as they ought. Some may have been saved, many weren't. And those that were saved did not meditate in and obey the Word of God. Now, sometimes we get upset with people because they think we're a bunch of legalists and a bunch of other things because of separation and doctrines of that, which is a doctrine, by the way. But they're upset because they don't walk with God as they ought to walk. They're unwilling to separate from the world. So as a result, they lack the capacity to understand holiness. It's not that they're mentally dumb. Some of them have high degrees and high IQs. But you see, a high degree and a high IQ does not equal spiritual understanding. I've seen people with eighth grade educations have more spiritual understanding than those with MD, PhD, and whatever other D you want to put up there behind their name. You see, wisdom, true wisdom, comes from God. Psalms 145, verse 17 says this, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. That's a good test. If it lacks in holiness and righteousness, it is not of God. Psalms 22:3, thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. In other words, as Israel praises, God inhabits that praise. As they praise God in truth. But my friend, praise does not take the place of obedience. Yeah, do praise, but it does not take the place of obedience. They're both to be a part of our life. And so in this war, understand, they'll put you out of the synagogues, they'll put you out of the churches, and the time will come, they'll think that whosoever killeth you is doing God's service. In other words, as 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15 says, as angels of light, they're Satan's ministers. Many of those men are deceived by Satan's ministers. So, as they do not give themselves completely into God, they're going to be deceived. We know that. We understand that. We just got to do right. These things, he said, have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Well, get your eyes off the world. It will be tribulation. But keep your eyes on Christ. You keep your eyes on him, then you will not quit. So keep your eyes on Jesus and don't quit. It will be worth it all. The world attacks. There's laws. There's entertainments. There's so many ways that take place on Sunday. They kick God out of school. How did that work out? Well, just 2 weeks ago you found out. I grew up in public school, 50s and 60s. Can never remember even having an armed guard at our school, a policeman or anybody. What happened? Well, they expelled God from school, and so he left them. And they're on their own. But my friend, I want you to put this in shoe leather for just a moment. You may have family. You may have friends that will stand against your stand for Christ in holiness and righteousness. Because you stand for the Word of God, you stand for holiness. I've seen more parents that had strong standards all of a sudden change when their kids changed. Their kids become adults, they go this direction, and you know what? All of a sudden, well, we should not be so legalistic. Good. Tell your kid to get in the car and drive down the road 100 miles an hour here through a school zone and get on the policeman if he's legalistic. Oh, well, Pastor, that's different. Yeah, that's right. It is different because his standard is lower than God's standard. But why do you respect his standard more than you do God's? It's time to stand and to stand up for Jesus Christ and to do right and don't quit. Some start out fine, but they allow friends, they allow family or whatever else, and it gets them off course, and they no longer stand. Now, why do we do this? Because the Son of Man comes to seek and to save that which was lost, and now He's given us that responsibility. As He was getting ready to leave this earth in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, and He says, "And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." That's what He said. Preach it everywhere. That's why we have missions. We're to take it everywhere. Tonight, my message is going to be on the missionaries that we send. Because I want you to have confidence in the ones that we're sending are true to the Word. And I'm going to tell you our test that we give them tonight. I hope you're here. But I also want you to understand right now that the Bible says in Romans 5:20 that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You say, "Pastor, you don't know the kind of sin I've committed in my life." You're right, I don't. You don't know what's been in my heart. If you did, you'd get up and walk out. But I probably wouldn't look at you either if I knew what was in your heart. Aren't you glad that God looketh at the heart, but we don't? And what I'm saying is that none of us deserve to go to heaven. But everyone that will come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness and repentance and faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ can be saved. You say, "Well, God, would God forgive me?" Yes, He would forgive you if you come to Him. He died for your sin. He's already paid the penalty for it. Now you just have to receive it. Already paid the penalty. Just receive it. Won't you do that? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, in a moment we're going to have this hymn of invitation and an opportunity for people to respond to You, Lord. I pray for those that raise their hand and are not sure that if they die today that heaven's their home. I pray that they might come. I pray for those that could not raise their hand that they're saved, but did not raise their hand to say, "Please pray." And Lord, my prayer for them won't save them. They've got to come and be saved. But Lord, I'm just asking You to remove the obstacles they might come. Oh Lord, I pray for a special work at this invitation time in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.